Scripture reading tonight will be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Update. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18.
I'd like to invite you to take out your Bibles and put your finger there or marker at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. In our study tonight, we're going to be talking just a little bit about the hope that we have as Christians. Some of the songs that we've sung about tonight have expressed the hope that we have as Christians. Well, what is that? John in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. For we shall all see him even as he is. And every one that hath this hope set upon him purifieth himself even as he is pure." The Apostle John, in writing these words, talks about the hope that we have in Christ, that one day we will be like he is, when he is manifested. The passage that was read in your hearing from 1 Thessalonians expresses a similar in similar fashion, the hope that we have as Christians, to be like him, to see him. And this text we're going to look at rather extensively and for just a few moments that we have. We often read this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, unfortunately at occasions of funerals, I would suppose. And we think, well, that's not a very lively time to be talking about. Well, it is. It's a time to talk about the hope that we have in Christ and the words of comfort we find from the Word of God. And when we talk about hope, we need to know what we're discussing. It's not just wishful thinking. What is hope? Most of you have heard me use the expression that hope involves two things: desire plus expectation. We might wish that one day, well, I'll have $1 million. We've got a lot of things that we want to buy, or a lot of things maybe we'd like to contribute to others with that much money. But that's not hope. I don't ever expect to have $1 million. When I was growing up, when my dad, and we talked about that this morning, when he said, "Son, if you do this and this and this, then I'm going to wear you out." Any of you ever heard that? One thing for sure is if I did this, this, and this, my dad was going to wear me out. Now that I could count on. I could surely expect it. But that's not hope. Hope involves those two elements: desire plus expectation. When we discuss the hope that we as Christians have, we need to define what it is. I want to go to heaven. I know I've talked with some in times gone by who had the desire to one day live on this perfect earth. When I'm done with it, I'm done with it. I don't want to come back to this earth. I want to go to heaven. What about you? Now that's what we're thinking about in our study tonight. Heaven, with all of its glory and splendor, is what Christians desire and should fully expect. When the Apostle Paul is writing in the Colossian letter, in chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have toward all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens." Where do you want to go? You want to be forever and ever on this earth, or a thousand years on this earth, or you want to go to heaven and be with God forever and ever? And that's what Paul described. And in the Ephesian letter in chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, there is one hope. Now, I'm not the mathematician in the family, but there are some who advocate two hopes, one on earth and one in heaven. But Paul said there's one, and that hope is the hope of heaven. And do you want to go to heaven? Well, that's the first question. But the next question is, do you expect to go to heaven? That's where I want to focus our attention. As you have your Bible open to this text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through the end of that chapter, we're going to focus our attention primarily on verse 16 and following. But I want you to look at some things in this passage. Look at your Bible or look at it on the board up here if you'd like. Simple points. Number one, what is the Christian's hope? Well, we have the hope of seeing the Lord. This passage says that in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The Lord himself shall descend. John wrote in Revelation 1 that every eye shall see, even those who crucified him. They'll be there and they'll see him descend. Point number two, the dead in Christ will be raised. Isn't that simple? This passage tells us in verse 17, or verse 16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That those who are dead in Christ, those who are Christians, will be raised from the dead and they will see the Lord. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 tells us it won't just be those who are dead in Christ, but that's those whom Paul has under consideration in this passage. Those who are not in Christ will likewise be raised from the dead, John 5 tells us. Point number three, we'll be united with the person of Christ. In verse 17, it says, then we that are alive. Now we've got the raising of those who are dead in Christ, then those that are yet alive at the coming of Christ. He says, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The Apostle Paul, same writer here, writing to those in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, said, but I am in a strait betwixt the two, desiring or having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for it is very far better. Yet to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake. Paul's desire was, if he had the choice, he'd rather just go on to heaven right now and be with Christ. But for those folks who were reading this epistle, it would be better for him that he lived, or for them, rather, that he lived. So Paul tells us that we shall go and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Point number four, be forever with the Lord. That's what heaven is. It depicts where the Father and His Son and all the redeemed of all the ages will be forever and ever. Now let me ask you again, do you want to go there? Well, it sounds pretty good. Yeah, I want to go. Now the second part of that, do you fully expect it? Now that's where we want to spend just a moment of our time. In our study out at the Veterans Home this afternoon, we were talking about being a child of God. As Paul writes in the Roman letter, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning in verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, he said, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Now that is confusing to a lot of folks. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Are you a child of God? Does the Spirit testify or bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? Say, well, how does that work? When we read our Bibles, we're reading those things that the Spirit of God has made known. He says, do this, 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 and this, and you can become a child of God. Now, my question to you is, have we done this, this, this that we read depicted in the Scriptures? If so, then you can bear witness, I've done that. And the Spirit of God then bears witness that you've done that. Therefore, you are a child of God if you've done those things that are revealed upon the pages of God's Word. Isn't that simple? Well, let's read just a little bit more. A passage we were reading this afternoon is found from the book of Galatians. Bruce, I believe you introduced this passage into our study in the third chapter. And verse 26 of the book of Galatians. Keep in mind that the subject matter that's being discussed in the book of Galatians has to do with the relationship of those who are Jewish background and those who are Gentile background in the church. Those who were Jewish in their background were binding upon those who were Gentiles the practice of circumcision. And so they were saying, you cannot be saved unless you become a Jew first. Interesting. Well, the Gentile had never been instructed to receive circumcision, but now some of these Jews who have become Christians are telling them, you can't go to heaven unless you receive circumcision. And so Paul is addressing that. And in verse 26, he said, for ye are all sons of God, or children of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. He said, there can be neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There can be no male than female, for ye are all one man in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. You see, as far as your physical heritage is concerned, it don't make any difference who you are. Jew, Greek, bond, free, you're all children of God by faith in Christ. And then he explains how come they were children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Isn't that simple? This is how you reach that relationship. Those of you who were baptized into Christ did put Him on. Now as we think about those who are in Christ, what blessings do you have in Christ? In Ephesians chapter 1, we learn that those who are in Christ enjoy all spiritual blessings. Verse 3, that includes the privilege of the blessing of God's grace, the forgiveness of our sins. But you see, in order to receive these blessings, and especially this hope that we have of going to heaven, that's extended to those who are children of God. If you're not a child of God, then you don't have that hope. Now somebody said, well, preacher, isn't that rather cruel? Well, I want you to read with me a passage found in the Ephesian letter. Keep in mind that this letter is written to the church in Ephesus that is composed of both Jews and Gentiles. And there were problems in their relationships with each other. And Paul writes in verse 11, wherefore remember that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that ye were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that sounds kind of pitiful, doesn't it? No hope and without God. Well, that was before they became Christians. But in verse 13, he continues, but now in Christ, ye that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. What have they become? They've become children of God. They had no hope. But now what do they have? They have hope. And when we talk about heaven being our hope, I want to go to heaven. I desire it. Now, can we expect to go? Jesus, in speaking with the apostles in John the 14th chapter, said, I'm going to go away. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Where did he go? Well, he went to heaven. His promise was that he was coming again and he would receive them. Now my question to you is, as we consider the Lord's invitation, do you have that basis for your hope? The apostle Paul, in writing to those writing to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he knew that he was about to be executed because of his faith. Can you even begin to stretch your mind around that? What it would be like to be killed because of your faith? And Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that have loved His appearing. What did Paul expect? He expected to go to heaven. He wanted to go.
But he expected to go. But not just him. He said unto all them that loved his appearing. That is, to those who are children of God, who can look forward to that. Now, one other point. That is, faithfulness is required if we're going to do that. John wrote, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." You can have this. You can go to heaven. But it requires being a faithful child of God. Now, can you say that? To those Hebrews, the writer said, regarding their hope, that it's an anchor, both sure and steadfast, and it enters into that within the veil. It enters into heaven. Paul, as he reflected upon the sufferings of this life, he said, "It's nothing." That's amazing to me. It's nothing. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." That's what he said. Did he expect to go to heaven? Yes. Did it put into proper perspective the sufferings of life? Yeah. It becomes nothing. He wanted to go to heaven. Now my question to you as we are preparing to stand and sing the song is, do you have that kind of hope? You can become a child of God. You can do that tonight if you believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is who He claimed to be. You're determined to turn from your sin, not practice that anymore. Going to do the things and to know aright. Would you then confess your faith and be baptized into Christ? That's how we become a child of God, by faith. Isn't that simple? We reach the benefits of His death. Maybe you've done that. You're not living right. And so consequently, you know you're not living right. And you know you don't have this hope because you're not faithful. You know that. Why not fix that? Can we help you? If you'd make that known, while together we stand and while we sing this song.